Hello and welcome to the Growthcast, the English language Growth Club and O podcast that nobody asked for. My name's David. What on earth was that?
Genuinely, David, I couldn't think of a thing today.
So you just made a noise?
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's a magnificent noise.
Really? That was magnificent, was it?
It's like, I don't know. It's been a long day.
Fair enough. Did you have a nice long Easter weekend?
No, because, well, Zbrojovka Brno were involved briefly. I took second place in a darts competition.
You did, didn't you? That was fun. Yeah.
Though I was raging about it, because I should have beat the guy.
Right.
And aside from that, I cleaned the house.
Okay.
Had a man on Tuesday come look at the damp on my exterior wall. That's not a euphemism.
Right. It's Easter weekend, spring cleaning o'clock, I suppose. So, yeah.
Feeling very mid-30s, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. All right, very nice. So, unfortunately, we do have to talk about that Zbrojovka performance. Did he go, actually?
No, I sacked it off to play an open mic.
Right, okay, yeah. I did, because I asked for the group photo, and the group photo was two people, Ben and Liam.
I'll be honest, we'll talk about this more in the section, but I saw the starting lineup as well, and I was just like, nah.
Okay, I didn't go. The reasons for that will become clear later, but yeah, let's have a little bit of a dive into it anyway. Yes, it was Friday evening, wasn't it?
Friday at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, FC Zbrojovka Brno versus Sparta Prague B. And what was that lineup?
It was one that was very unsettled, that's for sure. Like, you've caught me a little bit off guard here.
I mean, I have it here.
Oh, thank you. Well, if you would like to read it, that would be great.
Svarček retaining his place in goal. I don't know what Berkovets has done, but yeah, it's odd that Svarček has now just apparently become the undisputed number one, which is weird. But
has this involved shagging somebody's wife?
Kozeluch retains his place at right back. Then Endel reappears. Pernitzer and Foster Jamfi. David Jambor replacing Jirka Hamza as a defensive midfielder.
Yeah.
First appearance for him in a long time. Mm-hmm. Actually, a very long time.
And it showed.
Yeah, and then a four-man midfield of Handsome Adam Folsek, Smekal Texel and Roman Potocny, and Denis Aliagic.
Yes.
Starting up front, the Little Butcher starting on the bench.
Yes, for the first game. I was going to say second game in a row, but that's not true at all.
He missed Dukla because he was suspended.
Yes, and we also played two matches after that as well.
Yeah.
We started.
Yes.
I'm having a nightmare here already, and we're only in about the second minute of the podcast.
Anyway, a sort of basic thing of what happened. Aliagic had a chance early on, but Sparta go 1-0 up on 15 minutes, thanks to Daniel Michel. Folsek hits the bar on about half an hour, but Sparta make it 2 with a counter-attack that was finished by Radek Schiller, Michel turning provider. Mm-hmm. Zbrojovka get a goal back just before half-time with Potocny grabbing one in the 44th minute. And it was at this point, I think, I got a message, or the group chat got a message, because I said, it looks like a really bad game. And Liam said, it's actually a very good game, just with one very poor team in it.
Yeah.
Which I think, you know, probably summed it up at that point, yeah.
Yeah. Can you just say, is it Andre Lilling that has the sort of the pass and the run for the first Sparta B goal? Because that's a great goal. Mm. Really good goal. You know, in terms of how it was worked.
Yeah.
And, you know, from a Zbrojovka perspective, our perspective, it was just dreadful defending, first of all. And then the second goal, you've seen the goals, right?
I haven't, actually.
Okay. Well, do you remember the third goal that we conceded against Dukla Prague?
I do, yes.
It's exactly the same
goal.
Right,
good.
So, just completely just in the middle of the box, you know, has a bit of a, you know, sort of dive/swoop to get to the ball. It's at reasonably close range.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just no one there at all to pick him up. And it is just really poor. It's a very imbalanced...
It was a sort of counter-attacking job. Again, like the third one against Dukla, wasn't it? Just a ball out and then nobody picking up the runner.
Because it was about that time. Well, no, I stayed to the end of the first half, and then I decided that day that I was going to play the open mic instead of going to the football because I couldn't do both.
You're right.
Couldn't take my guitar to the football, and you know that made my decision feel a whole lot
more decisioned.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, it's a nice. There's some good goals in this game actually. Bertoschi strikes decent. It's been quite far out.
Anyway, that's half time, and the little butcher appears, replacing Folsek. We switch to 4-4-2, and Gwinechny replaces Jamfi. However, it's Radek Sheila again to make it 3-1 Sparta, and despite Potocny getting a second in injury time, it finishes FC ZB 2, Sparta B 3.
That Sheila goal is probably the pick of the bunch as well. It's lovely. I don't think there's much you can actually do about that one.
Right.
Our second goal, I mean, it's not really a goal. Doesn't really count. It's very scrappy. It just sort of gets bundled over the line.
And it's 90+3 something, isn't
which
it?
Which makes it on paper look like a lot closer than it was.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, everything leading up to that really speaks for itself, really. Yeah. I repeat myself a lot in this podcast, don't I, David?
You do what, sorry?
I repeat myself a lot.
Yeah, there you go, yeah.
Yeah. My God, the midfield's bad. Like, every single week, my God, the midfield is abysmal. And it's just such an imbalanced squad, just from back to front, whatever. And, you know, the fact that we've even got questions going, you know, about what's happened with the goalkeeper, all the way up to why aren't the strikers doing anything, just, I think, goes to show.
Yeah, it's odd that there are also some. I mean, we have loads of players that were initially clearly brought in to do something. I'm not sure what, and they just don't have a role within the system. I think the only player we've brought in who, like over the last sort of 2 or 3 years, who has started slowly but has grown into the side is Jutka Tetzel.
Yeah, absolutely.
And for the first part of the season, he was being featured alongside Kamso Mara, and Kamso Mara has vanished off the face of the earth. I don't know where he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he just solid off back to Guinea or something. But but actually, speaking of missing players such as him, would you like to play a little quiz that I've written?
I'll be honest with you, David. I didn't know when in this podcast the quiz would come about.
Bright and early.
What's the name of the quiz?
It's called Making Carbonara with Kamso Mara.
Season of water.
Okay. As we know, our newish Guinean midfielder is an excellent chef, so he'd like to know more information before he tries his hand at a classic Italian dish. You ready?
I just had a quick check with Transfer Market as well. He is still employed by the club.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Well, he's busy chefing.
I'm ready.
Okay. Question number one. Aside from pasta, what are the four ingredients in a classic carbonara?
Okay. Right, first of all, eggs.
Yes.
Did you say despite the pasta? Not in
except for the pasta, aside from the pasta.
That's
yes.
the word, obviously, despite the pasta. Now, I'm going to have a cheat one here, if that's okay, because traditionally, I believe you're supposed to make a carbonara with something which is like a cured sort of cow's cheek or something like that. But it's...
No.
But it's traditionally, however, most people would use pancetta.
Yes, some kind of fatty pork bacon product. Yes.
Can't remember the name of it. Contrary to popular belief in a lot of kitchens, I believe that there is no cream or any sort of milk within
thing. No.
But there is going to almost certainly be cheese.
Yes.
And I'm looking for one more.
Yeah, the last one is a seasoning, but a very basic seasoning.
Uh-huh. Is it just pepper?
Black pepper, yeah. Okay, good, very good. The dish has its origins in the region of Italy whose capital is Rome. What is the name of that region?
Lazio.
Very good. The cheese most commonly used for carbonara is Pecorino Romano. What animal does this cheese come from?
Oh, it's between two, isn't it?
It is between two. Pig.
No. for the lactose intolerant of our listeners, it's going to either be sheep or cow.
I mean, just because you're lactose intolerant doesn't mean you don't know where cheese comes from.
Oh, I thought that was just like a synonym for being thick. You know what? I think because it is very common and is almost as ubiquitous as Parmesan, I'm going to say it's a cow's milk cheese.
It's not, it's sheep.
Well.
Italians can get quite arsey about common claims.
Full stop.
About common claims that carbonara is not an Italian invention, but was in fact invented in Italy in 1944 by a cook from which country?
Ooh, that's a really good one.
Yeah. Because it's not as old as I thought. It is like a sort of early mid 20th century dish.
Oh, okay.
I didn't. Yeah, you know, I thought it was like a sort of venerable. Although it's not.
So you're also got to think about. I'm assuming it's some sort of migrant community. It's not just some random guy that sort of showed up.
Well,
okay, that's removed two of my options because I immediately thought Greece or Albania. I'm gonna get this wrong anyway. I'm just going to say Greece.
Right, I'm going to give you another crack and think about the state of play in Italy in 1944.
Well, it was fucked.
Yeah. And there are a lot of people from another country who didn't stay there for very long.
Actually, because you think... My mind's going a bit too historical here, maybe. Because you think... I'm thinking that what you want me to say is German or Austrian. Is it Austrian?
No.
Is it German?
No.
Because I was going to say American?
Yes, American,
okay,
yeah. Because apparently the US, well, Air Force mainly, had massive supplies of bacon. So the theory or the kind of story goes that they were already eating like kind of pasta and eggs for breakfast, and they had all this bacon, and they just chucked it in, and that became carbonara.
Were they students?
And lots of Italian food historians dispute this, but there are many claims from many different sources that say it was actually an American invention in Italy, and the Italians obviously don't like that very much.
No,
I'm
not doing great on this quiz, am I?
Well, you. Right, and number five, this is a thermodynamics question.
Oh, okay, pass.
Why should you only use long, thin strips of pasta such as spaghetti, fettuccine or tagliatelle when making carbonara, rather than like small little pasta shapes?
It's got something to do with cooking the egg.
Yes.
Do you want a further explanation of that?
If you can give one. I mean, that is technically correct, yes.
No.
No?
No.
It's because if you heat something up with... It
like
needs...
Clot. That's not the word, you know what I mean, but...
It needs a larger heated surface area to cook the egg, whereas if you've got the small ones, the heat doesn't stay in long enough.
Yeah.
Because it's just like these little pissy bits. But if you've got long, flat bits, it retains the heat a lot more because there's more surface area.
There you go.
So there you go, yeah.
Interesting.
All the things you didn't know about carbonara.
One thing that's also very interesting is that you're... do you have like a noise alert for any time you get a message or notification on Facebook?
Yeah, I can't work out how to turn it off.
You have to go in your settings in the browser, I think.
Yeah.
God, that's got to be annoying.
Yeah, I couldn't work it out. Yeah. Anyway.
Ruin your fucking day sometimes. Eh? Just going beep, 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 beep.
I've muted the speakers now. I should have done that before we started.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Anyway.
Uh-huh.
There we go. Are we done on that section? It was originally Bono Sparta, but it's descended into pasta chat.
It has, but I feel that maybe there's one thing that we actually should mention football related to this wider match that I don't think we can fit in anywhere else.
Is it the Pollack thing?
Yes.
Yeah. There were rumours circulating on social media on yesterday that Pollack had been binned off. Apparently that's not the case. He is going to lead the team out against Prostyoff. But the wider rumour is that they had been preparing to bin him off and nobody else wanted the job. So they've been forced to keep him, which I sort of actually quite believe.
Yeah, no, I completely believe it. I mean, who'd you bring in as well is the thing.
Us.
Because...
Hashtag announced Royal Cast.
Absolutely not. Like, if, you know, I think that the next few weeks of following Zbrojovka Brno is going to be desperately about trying to rekindle any sort of enthusiasm I have for the side right now.
Yeah.
Because let's look at this, right? I mean, obviously it's terrible to say this in terms of, obviously it's a very long winter break, but if you are a fan as Borovka Boron, you haven't seen your side win in 5 months at this point. The team doesn't look good. The team hasn't looked, since we've come back, remotely close to winning a match.
No.
You can argue maybe Dukla, but there were so many holes in the Dukla game anyway that I think that if I went in to try and, you know, sort out Zbrojovka or whatever, I would, you know, end up like leaving town and never coming back, because it's just like giving me this sort of like awful mental scarring.
It is the most thankless of tasks.
It's like going to Skegness or something, you know, it'll just stay with you.
It's,
no.
Zbrojovka is so bracing.
This is it, yeah. I mean, embrace yourself for playing two teams that aren't very fucking good this season, that we could very easily balls up.
Exactly. We are going to... Well, we can talk about one of those now, if you want.
Oh, sure.
Okay, let's do that. Are we going to prostrate ourselves against Prostyeyov?
Thanks for extending that while I yawned there. Yes. Immediately when you pressed the record button. Yeah, Saturday at 6 p.m. and that promises to be a really miserable affair against Prostyeyov.
Yeah.
Crowd will be low. Prostyeyov are not a good team. Mm. They are bottom of the SNL at the moment. Though it is, you know, I will say it is quite tight. They're 2 points behind Zhizhkov, who are actually quietly having a poor season, thinking about it. Because I never thought that Zhizhkov really in trouble, but actually it looks like they absolutely are.
Yeah, that sort of crept up on me as well, actually, because after their sort of, you know, absolutely thumping of everyone to get back up last year,
yes.
I thought, well, this is that's a solid mid-table outfit, surely, but...
I mean, they scudded us as well. I mean, it's a while ago now, but it wasn't, yeah, I mean, it wasn't even close, that game. Prostyeyov, they're not going great, and they have won since coming back, so they're better
than
us.
We've done, yeah.
So they've beaten Sigma B, but they've lost all their other competitive matches this year. You know, when you think about it, and actually, you know, if you go back several podcasts into the past, now you did a very interesting preview on Prostyeyov the club. They are, you know, pretty admirable at this level in some respect. You know, the small, not particularly well supported. I believe it's more of a hockey town. And, you know, I think often operating on a micro budget and yet have done what Zbrojovka have been unable to do, which is, you know, work and get builders in to actually change the stadium and make it better.
Yeah.
So this is why, you know, they've been doing their games at Havka almost this season.
That's right, yes. Yeah, we went to the reverse fixture and it was poisonous.
Yes, and I actually was going to say that that is maybe a warning sign of what is to come, because really this season Zbrojovka haven't really been good in pretty much any match except Hrudim at home.
Probably the last time I saw Kamso Mara, actually, the reverse fixture.
Yeah, this is it. So if anyone has actually seen Kamso Mara, please get in touch.
Yeah, missing persons posters up all around town.
On the carton of milk.
Yeah.
But Prostyeyov...
Replacing Milhouse's face.
Marpool. Prostyeyov are quite annoying in that we seem to follow a pattern, except for that 1-0 victory, actually. It's just we don't beat them away and we always beat them at home. Because when we have actually played them at Srpska, it's been really large margins. It's 4-1, 5-0, sort of spring to mind. Anyone who has watched Zbrojovka over the last, I would say, 6 weeks that believe that's achievable is a complete fantasist at this point. Because, you know, I think the only thing, and this is maybe what I forgot to say in the last section, is the only positive I can think of right now about Zbrojovka Brno is that Potocny seems to now be finding the net. That's it.
Yeah, he has come to life and everyone else has died a death.
Yes, pretty much. I mean, there you go. Like, should we just wrap up the podcast now? That's just the analysis. He started to score a few goals and then everyone else has died a death.
I mean, this is the Roman Potocny we thought we were getting like 8 months ago when he joined and he was absolute garbage.
Yes.
But now, yeah, I mean, like, tentatively... He is up there with Texel on players who have taken a while to find their feet, but actually can do a job.
All right. And in a few years, he probably will be playing for a team like Prostyeyov, who, you know, have a reputation for basically just being the old Zbrojovka retirement home. Any names spring to mind?
Are they still managed by Honza Trosil?
That I didn't research, actually, so maybe.
Kodelka. Still there.
He's still there.
I mean, he barely got a game for us, but yeah.
Because he was really shit.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of people who just haven't gone to Liesing. Off the top of my head, no, not really.
I think he has been to Liesing and he's been to Blansko, actually. Bartolomeu.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, Bart, of course, yeah.
And then also we've got a player on loan there right now.
Do we?
Yes.
Ooh.
He obviously left a lasting impression
really,
on you.
Yeah, surely.
As well, Jan Štěrba.
Oh, God, is that what... Okay, fine.
So usually you used to go there, right? And there used to be...
A really dull day out.
Well, it's a dull as fuck town,
isn't
it? It
is a dull town,
It's terrible. But you used to go there and you'd used to basically see at least six of the starting 11 have some connection to Zbrojovka Brno. Those days are maybe moving past. They have boosted their squad somewhat with winter signings. Andrei Shevchik comes in from Kralove. You might remember him as a former Liesing player who's never really got going in the top flight.
Right.
He's sort of a rotation sort of guy there. I think maybe 300 minutes or something in the past year. On the subject of Liesing, you will know Marek Matocha,
mm-hmm.
who also used to play for Vyshkov. So he's on a permanent deal. So he's 2 goals and 5 assists so far this season. Filip Mucha comes in from Teplice on loan.
Okay. Yeah.
They actually bought Mucha from Prostějov a couple of seasons ago. So they have,
that's gone well. Yeah.
Yeah, you may remember him from Slavia 6, Teplice 0. But yeah, those are the most significant arrivals in my view. And I think the only other player that I really want to mention, and I'm pretty sure I mentioned this last time as well, but it does bear repeating, is that they will have Tomáš Malac up front. So he's got 7 goals this season. Amongst his honours, of course, are 1 Norwegian championship and 2 Norwegian cups from his time at Rosenborg and Lillestrøm.
Listen, fair play.
Yeah. He's got a Slovak title with Trenčín and a Lithuanian cup with Žalgiris. So,
Decorated.
So, you go on transfer, you go through all the players on transfer market when you're doing a preview and you're looking at the highlights and stuff like that. And then suddenly you click on his face, and then his face is suddenly like just like a load of trophies, and you go, oh, something's happened here then. Something's happened here that you're in sort of, you're in Prostějov.
Yeah.
Famous for hats, isn't it?
Is it?
I think it's famous for hats, Prostějov, or some sort of fashion sort of design thing. Anyway, it's a dull town. We don't need to talk about Prostějov because we're not going there. They're coming here.
Yeah.
They get the 45-minute. They'll be on that Aviva bus.
Yes.
That'll be it.
Lovely Aviva bus.
Look, I mean, I was kept quite light on detail because, frankly, I look at a team that's rock bottom in confidence.
And a team versus a team that's rock bottom at the table.
Yeah. I was trying to find a way to crowbar that in. And I just don't know what's happening because I think there are actually some really polarizing things that could happen. Like, it's not beyond the realms of comprehension that actually Zbrojovka learned what to do, just completely expose Prostějov at the back and somehow win 3-0. But it's also equally likely that Prostějov turn up and go, this is such a poorly connected side right now with a crowd that will... frankly be probably on the team's back
in the first 10 minutes
if things just look like they are staying the same, and then just come up and nick it or win or win actually reasonably comfortably. That both possibilities are,
if you're Prostějov, that's it. You say to them, this team are on such a bad run of form, they're so low on confidence, the crowd hates them, just go out and do them.
Easier said than done, home and away, because a poor Zbrojovka crowd is basically still going to be a season high Prostějov crowd if that happened, Olomoucký Kraj. However, like when teams that I regard as reasonably poor have beaten us, Sigma Olomouc B, Hrudim a few weeks ago, it's because they haven't done that usual thing that teams used to do against us in this league, which is sit back and try and counter. They've just gone so direct and they've just hit it in the face because there are so many holes.
Yeah, because they know exactly that we're so weak defensively. Yeah.
So anything could happen. I will be lying to you if I'm not looking for an excuse to not attend, frankly.
Fair enough.
I probably will still go.
But, I mean, I'll go because I didn't do the last one. So.
But, I mean, really, my enthusiasm for the team right now is really at rock bottom. And we desperately need someone to pick it up.
You and every other Sporovka fan.
Exactly,
frankly.
Yeah.
Yeah, apart from that kid.
Yes. Yes.
That they gave the megaphone to. Yeah. Scenes. Right, that is very much a knot, but shall we do two more of each?
Yes.
Okay. It's hot or not time, ladies and gentlemen. Isn't that exciting?
It is indeed.
Yes. One each?
One of each.
Right, I'm going to start with my hot, and my hot is KF Tirana versus Tuula Dureș.
Aha, good. I was hoping that you would have a place to talk about your experiences.
Yes. The reason I wasn't at Sporovka versus Sparta B is because I was in Albania for the long weekend, which was... basically, I had work flight credits to spend, so I went and sorted by cheapest... Yes. And Vienna to Tirana, and I've never been to Albania, so yeah, off I jolly well popped.
Was the weather good?
30 degrees and blue skies every day.
Deary me.
Oh, it was so nice. Slightly sunburned.
Yeah,
on the
I
back
thought
of my
you were
neck
spotting
there.
A
yeah.
little bit of a
yeah.
tan.
But oh, it was great. I had a whale of a time. And Friday night, 7 p.m, was Tirana versus Dureș, bit of a derby because it's only half an hour away on the coast. Didn't mean they really brought any fans. In fact, neither team brought any fans. It was in the National Stadium, the Air Albania Stadium, which is magnificent, by the way. Really good stadium. Brand new, all shiny. And Dureș won 2-1. We initially leapt up in great excitement for the first goal, which was a Dureș goal because they were playing in the reverse colours. So, yeah, so... KF Tirana's colours are blue and white. And Dureș's colours are also blue and white. Uh-huh. But Tirana were playing in white and Dureș were playing in blue, which is not the right way round. So they scored first and we were like, yeah, oh shit, sit down. But all three goals were absolute quality.
Oh, yeah.
I'll show you them in a bit, actually.
Yeah, nice one.
I found them on YouTube. They're really, really good.
Yeah. What does a crowd say? Well, what's the general crowd noise when there's a when there's a goal? Because, you know, obviously, you know, when you have a goal in like the year when I was like, yeah, like that. And in some contexts, like, oh, like that, you know, is there a...
Same as here, kind of a, you know, that sort of thing. Although you couldn't really hear them because there was only about probably 1,200 people there in this 21 and a bit thousand seater stadium.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But we paid for the VIP bit. This was me and two lads from Norwich that I met just before the game, and that meant we got a padded seat. We got a private bar.
Oh, nice!
So there was like a skybox bar thing that you could go to, and it meant you got service at your seat. Just some lad bringing you pints. You could just order pints from your seat. So that was good.
Wow!
Yeah.
How much was that ticket?
That. Like I said, everything in Albania was way more expensive than I thought it was. That was €20, the equivalent of, which is pricey enough, you know. But, you know, we thought we should do it. And the other advantage is if you're a smoker, like every fucking person in Albania is. Everyone smokes, including like city bus I was on like city buses and the driver's just having a fag while he's driving around. Like, just absolutely nuts. But... you have to relinquish, like you get searched really hard when you go in, including they take lighters off you.
Yeah.
But then if you're in the VIP section, you can just, they'll just give you a lighter. Yeah.
That is great. I don't know if that is a, if that is like a, that part of the world thing, because obviously when I was next door in Thessaloniki, there was a whole thing, you know, about, you know, of your visiting fans stuff, and that you weren't allowed to bring lighters into the stadium. You were allowed matches.
Yeah, because people chuck lighters at
that
people,
makes sense.
At like corners and stuff, they'll like just chuck lighters.
Because I'll be honest with you, I just put my lighter in my sock, and it was fine. So yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Anyway, that was really good fun. So that was my hot. It was a lovely evening at the football.
That's good. Do you want a hot then?
Yeah, go on.
Mine's totally different from your nice time in Albania. My hot is Al Hilal's rivalry with TNS.
Yes, very good.
So
it's about 10 days old now, but still good.
Oh, you know what? There was a long break. Yes. So basically, for those of you who aren't aware, Al Hilal are a Saudi club who have, I believe, now been recognised as having the longest run, like, of winning games in world football, and amongst top leagues, yeah. I believe. And TNS, the New Saints, the team formerly known as Total Network Solutions, are obviously a small fish in a tiny pond of the Welsh Premier League. Mm-hmm. So, you know, TNS turn up to games and they scud like Haverford West or whatever, 11-0, and this is apparently football in Wales. So they turned up, and again, this will have some explanation to do, to the Challenge Cup final against Airdrieonians,
mm-hmm.
because that is the Scottish version of what you would call the Checkatrade, the lower league cup.
Papa John's Trophy.
Yes, what we do in Scotland, for reasons unbeknownst to me, is we tend to invite half a dozen sort of foreign teams. I say foreign teams, like Welsh and National League, Northern Ireland teams, Republic of Ireland teams as well, to participate in the tournament. And TNS got to the final, which was very strange in itself, because you had this sort of thing where, you know, if you're Scottish, you will know no one likes Airdrieonians. But you're wanting Airdrie to win, because obviously a team from Wales, formerly known as Total Network Solutions, is an absolute disgrace, you know, to win, you know, to winning your one of your domestic trophies.
Yeah.
So anyway, Airdrieonians won 2-1. And then if you go to the social media of either TNS or Airdrie, you will see, at this point, I believe it's several hundred sort of messages from Saudi fans of Al Hilal, either praising Airdrie, some of who apparently are buying merchandise from the club now to commemorate this, or having a go at, yet again, a team that used to be called Total Network Solutions in Wales. I know Saudi football's shite, right? But it's a league full of absolute millionaires, and so much money, and all these stars are getting poured into it or whatever, and you're beefing on the internet with a team formerly called Total Network Solutions.
And this is purely because... This is purely because Airdrieonians ended TNS's run of wins, or...?
Yes. Ended their any aspirations, you know, they would have for, you know, that longest sort of streak. However, as it was pointed out to me TNS only beat East Fife in the quarterfinal on penalties.
Right.
So that doesn't really count as a win in regulation play. It's an extra time win. So I don't believe that even counts towards the record of consecutive wins. I think it's a...
So really, it should be East Fife with loads of people buying their merch in Saudi Arabia.
Can you imagine some lads cutting around Riyadh in East Fife jerseys?
And, I can, and yeah, I'd love to see it.
And those bonnets. Box office. But really, I imagine that Saudi Arabian football is one where teams are desperate to have these sorts of rivalries and things like that, and to try and create this sort of...
Makes it legit.
This thing. And let me tell you, I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't like TNS as a club either. lads, you're beefing with a team that has Declan McManus in it, you know? Like, come on, you fuck.
Isn't that Elvis Costello's real name?
It's close, isn't it, actually? Yeah.
Who is it? Because he's a McManus. Is he Ross McManus? Or he's a McManus, definitely.
Yes, he is. Total Network are on their way. Elvis Costello.
Are you going to Google this right now?
I am. This is great podcasting, isn't it? Declan McManus.
I thought it was. Yes. Vindication. Come on.
So there you go. Well done, David. Like, this is... God, this is turning into I'm sure you listening to this at home, you know, are going, wow, what a fascinating podcast we've got on the go today.
I don't want to go to Riyadh. Yeah.
No, they tried to make me go to Riyadh. I said no. give me a knot, David.
Liam Kitching, bless him.
What's happened?
We, meaning Coventry, we lost 2-1 to Cardiff City. over the weekend. The first time we have gone ahead at home and lost for since 2022, early 2022, wow. I think. But Liam Kitching, who has had a brilliant season so far, scoring one own goal is tough. Scoring both in a 2-1 loss is something else.
That is not great.
Poor guy. Just that, really. I'm so really sorry for him.
Like, were they proper? Like, were they like avoidable own goals though?
One of them was a bit daft, but bit shit.
Yeah,
yeah. But hey, we've got Man U in the FA Cup, so
there you go.
Yeah, yeah. Ellis Sims absolutely waiting to line up against Harry Maguire and turn him inside out for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Lovely stuff. You have a knot, I assume?
I do, and because you're... well, that's quite fitting, David, because you're talking about, someone that's had a really bad time of it in, wearing sky blue. So my knot is the San Marino national team. imagine organising two friendlies against a country ostensibly to try and just win.
Yeah.
No other motive. You're just going to... cart this country over to come and play this friend, these two friendlies, because they're coming a long way, and then lose the first one and then have a dull 0-0 in the second one, which that dull 0-0 is seen as a good result. Woof.
Yeah.
Woof. And I'll be honest with you, I was absolutely delighted that St. Kitts and Nevis ended up beating San Marino.
Yeah.
Because I just thought every single hipster football fan in Europe sort of crying into their Beira Moretti's and their... what's that other one that they Madri. It was like that foreign beer. Well, that British beer that's supposedly foreign and it's not and it's supposed to be cool.
Yeah, it's brewed in Burton-on-Trent and Tadcaster.
I was going to say that beer that wankers drink, but I realise that we do have a significant number of people in the UK who listen to us, and some of them probably do drink Madri.
You're all very fine people.
Yes, I do not think you're a wanker. I do if you follow that stupid Pints Twitter as well that thinks that,
Pints drank.
Yes, frozen Corona sort of, light beers is the epitome of drinking. Fuck off. But Sam
Marino.
Right.
Also, I will say, right, if you have posted a picture or you see a picture of a lager with, and there are many of these on there, with lots and lots of foam bubbles stuck to the inside of the glass, that glass is dirty.
Yeah.
Because the only way the foam bubbles stick to the inside is if there is grime on the inside of the glass. That is not a good look. It means your glass is fucking filthy.
You almost had a sort of a particular sort of Mitch Hedberg cadence
there.
That glass is dirty. This is not a good glass. But and this is just a general thing for all social media, right? No one gives a fuck about your frosted pint of Cruz Campo. Don't care, mate. Just don't care. Maybe care less. Well, no, I don't, because I care quite a lot about San Marino as a state, at least in Eurovision terms. But very funny nonetheless. So all the people whose two teams are like San Marino's national team and Dulwich Hamlet home and away, get it right up you.
I just realised what that was. It's a... this shirt is dry clean only, which means it is dirty. That's the Mitch Hedberg joke where I subconsciously got that from.
I love how that just came out of your subconscious. And I'll share a secret with you as well. I don't really listen back to the podcast ever unless there's a bit that I know is really sort of like funny. I want to see what audio madness you've done or whatever.
That's why you never listened back to the podcast, isn't it? Because there are none of them.
Yeah. No, because sometimes you put in a little twinkle or a tune or something, and I go, that's kind of cool. I'm going to be clipping that bit. your Mitch Hedberg, Sam Marinese, pints drank, hell.
hell. Anyway, shall we move on from this rambling nonsense?
You think they have enough followers to sponsor us, maybe? Pints drank. Can you imagine that? Having pints drank as a main sponsor. This podcast is brought to you by Manscaped. Fantastic. If you want to sponsor us, Twitter or Facebook.
Right, beer of the podcast?
Yes.
Yay. Beer off the podcast. I sort of fucked that up slightly. I got the syllables wrong in the last section, yeah. But never mind.
Well, you know,
it's done now.
It's done now, and won't be the worst thing that happened on this podcast anyway. Yeah, it was my turn for Bearded Podcast, and following on from our last podcast where we had some sort of stout,
yes,
that I thought it was worth going in exactly the opposite direction. However, going from the same shop that you got yours from, because that beer shop on Solnichny is conveniently two doors down from my work, so I went in there after, because I was in the office today, and it is one of these shops where, you know, you have a large array of these sorts of things,
and big fridges
of various things. However, it is also a pub in its own right, as well as a bottle shop, and that I feel obviously affects things like the pricing. This was expensive.
Right.
So the beer in front of you, this is just a standard can,
mm-hmm.
167
Ooh,
crowns.
Oh dear.
Google tells me, for listeners who are not in the Czech Republic, that's a €6.59 for this.
Yeah.
Which is the Magic Road Beauty Extreme.
Right.
Raspberry, blackcurrant, strawberry and marshmallows, plural, pastry sour.
Wow, there's a lot going on there. And that can is as red as the beer, ladies and gentlemen.
It is a bright...
It is a sort of beetroot, it's mm-hmm. sort of a borscht-coloured almost beer.
I was going to say, if you remember the blackcurrant innocent smoothies...
Yes, okay,
It's that. 7% ABV, so there is a wee bit of heft behind it. And this is, I believe, a Polish beer. It's from Nowy Świat.
As they all are, all these pastry sours are generally...
Yes, they're all coming
know.
In. And because I looked at this and I was thinking, can I find some sort of connection to anything that's happening? And for some reason, my mind wandered to Li Shen.
Okay.
And Li Shen, of course, have that excellent bar and bottle shop beside them, where we had...
Where we had the...
Sours, but that was a gelato sour, mm-hmm. I now realise, from another Funky Fluid, I believe it was.
Also Polish.
Yes, so next door, I believe, is Magic Road. So let's...
Let's have a go at this.
Dive into this one. So remember, while you're drinking it, raspberry, blackcurrant, strawberry and marshmallows. The idea that it's marshmallows and not marshmallow is annoying me more than it should.
It smells of marshmallow, possibly plural-esque.
Oh, it's very perfumed, isn't it?
Yeah.
In a way.
Anyway, yeah, it smells quite thick, but let's have a go.
That's superb.
Yeah, it's nice, that. It's sweet to begin with, and then as it goes down, it fills your entire mouth with different flavours.
Yeah, and then it gets really sharp at one point, and then, but for like a second.
Yeah, that's really... There's a slight hint of chocolate in the kind of marshmallow-ness of it.
Well, it's got pastry-ness of it.
Yeah, it's sort of fruit all the way around, like it's fruit on the inside of your cheeks, and then it's like sugary marshmallow in your throat. That is complicated and delicious.
That's really good. And that is one, and we've talked about deceptively strong beers on this podcast before, where you go, I could drink that in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's 7%. And if you go through three or four of them, if you're a rich man, you're going to have maybe problem getting out of your seat at the end of it. But
that's really nice.
That is nice. I mean,
well done.
I was hoping it was not going to be terrible for 167 crowns.
Yeah, well done though. Good find.
So good. But can I also just say, like, I mean, not really good find me, but they are actually very good at that shop. For they'll come up to you and be like, is there anything in particular they're looking for? And they'll give you, you know, recommendations of things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, of course, the recommendation is going to be everything because it's the stuff they stock, right? But they actually are very knowledgeable about this sort of thing. They seem to be proper beer geeks.
Yeah,
so,
cool. Nice. So, we have got one more section to go, and it is a preview of...
Varnsdorf! Varnsdorf.
Yes.
It's a town. It's arguably a way of life. It's in the middle of nowhere. It's not in the middle of nowhere. It's in the middle of Germany, almost.
It has an excellent brewery.
It's an excellent brewery. It's got a man that'll drive you around the town if you look like you're going to the game.
Yeah, and a lovely sort of bed and breakfast thing with a pool where we got pints by sitting by the pool. That was nice, wasn't it?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And we're not going back there.
We are not going back there for a few reasons. First of all, the team is shit right now and I don't feel like it. It is a long trip from Brno. You have to go basically from... there's multiple ways you can do it. I think the fastest, actually, which is not the way that we did, was you go to Prague, you go to Liberec, and then you get the train up.
That is what we did.
No, we went to Pardubice and then took a Pardubice to Liberec train.
Oh, which that's was, right, yes.
And that was... That train was 3 hours.
Yes, the reason that I knew that train existed was because that was the train from Pardubice to get to Lenker's Folks, because it goes through Novopaca, which is the reason I knew that it existed. But yeah, it's a single track.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I can tell you one thing from that that's just sprung to mind. I mean, that train, that particular train ride was so dull. I'm pretty sure that we had a conversation on that train for 20 minutes, which was your top 10 condiments.
Top 10 condiments, yeah.
So we're not
happy
going.
Days.
Yeah. So we're not going. It's also, again, it's on a Sunday, I believe. It's the 14th,
right,
which I think is a Sunday. Someone might have to check that.
Yeah, because next Friday is the 12th, because I have a deadline for an article about Bratislava Airport.
Yes, and I, myself and my wonderful girlfriend are going to celebrate our... 9th anniversary.
Oh, nice.
So we're going to Budapest.
Excellent.
So I will not be there either. Okay, so earlier in the season, Varnsdorf were the team that took the longest to register a win, going to match week 13 of the 21st of October to bag 3 points. We made a comment at the time, or I think I made a comment at the time, that Varnsdorf were better than their position in the league because they scored a lot. They had a lot of draws. They never actually got scudded by anyone. There was only, I think, during that long run, they only lost by more than one goal twice.
Right.
And actually, last time out for us was at home, and it was a 1-0 victory, courtesy of Roman Potocny, actually, in an incredibly low-quality affair, if you recall, where Varnsdorf looked a lot more dangerous at times than we were.
Yeah.
So that wasn't good. Our away form against Varnsdorf, you know, I just have this idea in my head that our away form against Varnsdorf is dreadful. And it's actually not as bad as I thought. So the last two league games there, we've actually won away. Because I keep thinking of when we went up there, our time, it was a very routine 2-0 win for the home side. But we've bagged all the points in the last two games. We also, of course, had the 4-2 cup game loss there as well, which stung a bit as well. Varnsdorf also has its own issues because it is the furthest away game that we play.
It is, yeah.
We don't get any sort of hotel or pension to stay at, I think. It's, you know, the team just gets off the bus after you're sort of sitting there going numb for several hours, and then you just, you know, you get your warm-up and then you go straight into it. So actually, Varnsdorf do have an advantage in that sense against, you know, some of the teams just due to being so remote. Would you like to hear something that you might know already that I found incredibly fascinating today?
Yeah, go on.
Because I was, before I'd even done the preview and I was thinking about this game, I was going, Philip Fehrbacher. Philip Fehrbacher used to play for them, and he scored loads and loads and loads of goals for them, and then he moved to another second tier team on loan. We talked about it in another podcast, and I was very pleased that he was no longer playing for Varnsdorf. So I was wondering, what was that team that he was playing for now? he plays for Karko Nosze Jelenia Góra, which is in the fourth division of Poland.
Right.
Because he was released by Hradec Kralove because he's been suspended for 30 months for match fixing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and this is where it gets even weirder. Do you know what the match was?
Obviously not. Yeah.
It was a Rakovnik versus Motorlet Praha game in the CFL. He doesn't play for either team. right? But what has happened is that one of the guys, and I can't remember the name of the guy who the main culprit of all this, who was banned from all football involvement for 15 years, he basically told Philip Fehrbacher to then tell another guy called Javier Neruda, who's a former Slavia development player.
I'm aware of the works of Javier Neruda.
Who in turn approached Motorlet players to influence the match. And I think they were offering something like 50k.
Wow.
To basically, I think it was win penalties and stuff like that. So I think what happened is that Fehrbacher was basically suspended for almost 3 years from, you know, Czech football.
Yeah.
And so he's gone over to the Polish fourth tier because that's all he can get or whatever. He was able to play one full match and he's been suspended from that as well because I think it carries.
Okay.
So he's really, by being the middle of a middleman,
yeah,
he has possibly ruined his entire football career.
Although, did we not see, did Pavel not send a graphic on the group chat a while ago about the kind of like sort of betting corruption in Czech football is incredibly high. We're like sixth in the world or something.
Yeah.
For like particularly games like this, like really lower league games where you'd think it is sort of kind of pointless, but there are so many people betting on them.
Yeah.
It's absolutely bizarre.
So mental, yeah. But imagine, because at this level, and Fehrbacher, he might still, when he comes back, have a bright future ahead of him, maybe. But, because Hrudim, that's who he used to play for.
Right.
So. And he banged in, 11 goals for Hrudim before moving to Varnsdorf. So, he was... Even if the whole top division stuff doesn't work out, you're down, you know, down in this level.
It's a decent journeyman career, surely, yeah.
For sure. So in place of him is now a 20-year-old called Matias Vojta, who's on loan from Mladá Boleslav B. He was a Czech under-19 international. What worries me a little bit is he got his first goal the last time out in a 1-1 draw with Líšeň. Líšeň not great this season, but it looks like Varnsdorf are starting to get there. And their other striker, Jakub Hodek, is on season-long loan from Dukla.
Oh, okay.
And he's got 4 and 16, so not great. Their other transfers from Slovan, Mladá Boleslav, this is natural for Varnsdorf. They are the closest teams to them. But I enjoyed also the arrival of Nigerian midfielder Toby Adeleke until December, with the option of a further year from KTP... of the Finnish second division.
Wow.
They were actually...
If you're going to do three nationalities to mess about with, that is a lovely combination.
So yes, they were actually relegated last season from the top league or whatever, so they got in or whatever. I found out that this team that I'd never heard of before, KTP, historically their biggest rivalry was European football nerd favourite at MIPA.
Yeah, MIPA.
And according to Wikipedia, between December 2017 and January 2018, KTP sold 2,273 season tickets, which is an all-time record in the Finnish top flight.
Lovely. Good for them.
Yeah. KTP stands for something. Yeah. I'm not pronouncing that.
Yeah.
So what sort of started as a preview about Varnsdorf actually just went into match-fixing the Finnish... second tier, and I'm actually quite comfortable with that.
Yeah, that's
because
fine.
If anything's going to happen, we might be Prosty off. You know, who knows? You could maybe skim something there. I would be absolutely stunned if we get 3 points away at Varnsdorf, despite how bad Varnsdorf.
Right.
Are.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, a humbling thing to think of, a sobering thought to finish off
indeed,
a podcast.
It certainly is.
About how bad this team is right now.
Yeah. You know, if nothing else, listener, keep the faith with us. We will do our best to...
grimly hanging on here.
Yeah, to send reportage every 2 weeks to you. And follow us on the socials, that's Borovcast, on Facebook and Twitter, of course. We just... piss about and get slightly, you know, drunkenly angry on there, which is fine.
Yeah. This has been, I think, more than others recently, that this has been more of a piss around podcast, this one.
It has, because we've had so few sections, we were...
trying desperately to avoid talking about the team.
Yeah, basically, yes. So we hope you've enjoyed this kind of, you know, carousel into the fairground of ridiculousness that Zbrojovka now is.
If I get my way, by the way, David, this sort of content would be as Broyovka's Patreon.
Right, okay. So actually not the football, just the other garbage that goes alongside it.
Hanging out with David and Sam. I don't know. Give us 200 crowns a month and we'll give you a shout out or something.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you for listening, listener, wherever you are, whoever you are. Thank you very much for sticking with us and continue to do so as we delve through this dreadful season we're having. Other than that, we will play you out with this.
Remember as well, where at the checkout, use code SPROYOFFCAST to get 20% off your first Manscaped order. Bye.
Halo, platící diváci, tenhle song jsme přivezli až ze sluné Itálie. Prego. Un, due, tre, quattro. Když jsem já byl hoch, máma řekla mi buď fér. Sebe menší dar neodmítej a ber. Když ti dají dor, vždycky říct si zkus, sestra dala by si taky kus.
Táta zase mi řekl, tak si na to rande máš. Snad máš už na to i věk, navíc však i brášku máš. Vem ho sebou a mač, je-li ten tvůj kavalír, vrazí i do něho pár lir.
A od těch dob to u nás takhle klape.
Já na bráchu ping, hej.
Já na sestru pong. Rodinný marketing. Nikdy nebudem plong. Znáš-li tenhle song? Zpívat s námi zkus. Já na bráchu blues.
Praktická ukázka rodinné pohody. Sestra solo. A sejte na to je.
Přítel můj mi řek. Kasu uděláme teď. Jášku do toho jdu napůl se svou sestrou. Ta nám bude dělat zeď.
A záhy ctěný soud. Napařil ti bratru 10 let. A mě sestře, jak vysmet.
Tak správně nás to naučila mama.
Já na bráchu ping, hej.
Já na sestru pong. Rodinný marketing. Nikdy nebudem plong. Znáš-li tenhle song? Zpívat s námi zkus. Já na bráchu blues.
Teď verze napsaná do filmu Kmotr. Já do bráchy Bing, hej!
Já do sestry Pong. Rodinný forčeking. Oba K.O. a Gong. Znáš-li tenhle song? Zpívat s námi zkus. Já na bráchu blues.
Konec filmové ukázky.
Halo, platící diváci. Jak vidím, sešlých je tady mnohem víc než počet prodaných vstupenek. Zřejmě se rozkřikl, že se tu bude hrát Já na bráchu blues. Kdo mačkáte v dlaní peněženku, hoďte ji na pódium, abyste mohli tleskat.
Ty drobní jsou asi dobrá, že? Jak vidět, tenhle italský song je velice prostý. Začnu refrén. Já na bráchu ping.
A vy na to slovensky. Hej. No a jsme jako jedna rodina. O prodělek se shodně podělíme a máme tu Já na bráchu blues. Jde se na to. Uno, due, tre, quattro.
Já na bráchu ping. Hej.
Já na sestru pong.
Hej.
Rodinný marketing. Nikdy nebudem plon, hey! Znáš-li tenhle song, hey! Zpívat s námi zkus, já na bráchu blues. Zpíváte skvěle, ale z hvězdy jsme tu my.
Brácha můj je king, hey!
Sestra je King Kong,
hey!
Rodinný marketing,
hey!
Nikdy nebudem plon,
hey!
Znáš-li tenhle song,
hey!
Zpívat s námi zkus, já na bráchu blues.
A ještě jednou pro televizi všichni.
Já na bráchu ping,
hey!
Já na sestru pong,
hey!
Rodinný marketing,
hey!
Nikdy nebudem plong,
hey!
Znáš-li tenhle song,
hey!
Zpívat s námi zkus, já na bráchu blues.